The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Arizona's Supreme Court revives a 160-year-old abortion ban. And the NCAA women's basketball final pulled in record viewership. So why did it earn 99% less money than the men's finals?
I cover a wide range of sports from college football to the Olympics. I have never seen viewership increase like this so quickly for any sporting event. In terms of capitalizing on it, that's a bigger challenge.
Plus, why Biden's record on climate change isn't resonating with younger voters. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Let's start today with a key decision on abortion in Arizona. The state Supreme Court has revived an abortion ban from 1864. That's before Arizona was a state that barred the procedure throughout pregnancy, except in life-saving situations. Our National Legal Affairs reporter, Laura Cusisto, has more.
You're going to have headlines reverberating around the state, around the country today, saying that Arizona's Supreme Court has allowed a total abortion ban to go into effect. And this sort of really supercharges things heading into November, when Arizona is both going to be a key state in the presidential and congressional races, and also has a ballot measure on the ballot as well. So that's a real kind of perfect storm in terms of making this state really near kind of front and center in terms of the fight over abortion.
It's unclear whether the ban will ultimately be enforced. Chris Mays, the state's Democratic attorney general, said women and doctors won't be prosecuted while she holds office. Sunday's NCAA women's basketball final drew a record number of viewers for the tournament, 18.9 million, according to Nielsen. That's more than any other basketball game in 5 years, including professional and men's games. And for the first time in history, the women's final drew more viewers than the men's final. Despite the ratings blockbuster, the women's tournament got just a small fraction of the money from broadcasters, $6.5 million for the women versus $873 million for the men. Why? It has to do with the way the NCAA negotiates TV deals. Joining me now to explain is Wall Street Journal senior sports reporter Rachel Bachman. Welcome, Rachel.
Great to be here.
So what is the difference between how men's and women's deals were negotiated?
Well, a couple of things. One, the NCAA tends to favor long-term deals, right? And so the women's deal is very long and it's about to expire. So that's one thing. The other thing is that the NCAA for a long time has sold the men's basketball tournament separately on its own. The women's tournament, it's bundled with a couple of dozen other sports championships. And the reason the NCAA does this is to get those other championships airtime. But the downside is the women's tournament can't sort of sell itself on its own.
But what about the viewership and the popularity of this finals? I mean, I don't watch sports that much, but it felt like everyone I knew was talking about this final over the weekend, especially Iowa's Caitlin Clark. So could that move the needle or change how these deals are negotiated in the future?
I cover a wide range of sports from college football to the Olympics. I have never seen viewership increase like this so quickly for any sporting event. So it is a cataclysmic event for this tournament. In terms of capitalizing on it, that's a bigger challenge. The NCAA recently signed a new deal, again, bundling the women's tournament with dozens of other NCAA championships. It's a big increase, 10x, but some people say it still really doesn't reflect the true value of this tournament. A lot of people wonder, is this solely a Caitlin Clark effect? And certainly she's had a huge impact on viewership, right? She's a superstar. She's done things no one else has. But the tournament was growing without her, and in fact, if you look at games through the Elite Eight, viewership for the non-Iowa games increased 73% from last year to this year. So this is growth beyond Caitlin Clark.
This reminds me in a way, and I know separate issues at play here, but the U.S. women's soccer team, very successful, and that success started to bring issues with pay equity to the fore.
Yes. In fact, several years ago, of course, the U.S. team sued its employer, the U.S. Soccer Federation, for sex discrimination. And a lot of fans really rallied around that cause. It didn't hurt that they also won the World Cup in 2019. And in fact, they achieved a new deal with U.S. Soccer. In this case as well, a few years ago at the NCAA Women's Tournament, there was a big controversy about inequities on the ground between the two tournaments. Caused a lot of controversy and outcry from fans and so on, but it also achieved some changes. And I think that will help the tournament long term in terms of getting the investment and support it needs from the NCAA.
Wall Street Journal senior sports reporter Rachel Bachman, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Coming up, President Biden's record on climate change beats his predecessors. So why don't voters seem to care? That and more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The parents of a teenager in Michigan who killed four classmates at his high school in a 2021 shooting have been sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison each. James and Jennifer Crumbly are the first parents of a school shooter to be held directly responsible for their child's attack. They were each convicted of four counts of unintentional homicide in separate trials that ended in February and March. Their son, Ethan, pleaded guilty to four counts of murder and is serving life in prison. Both parents are expected to appeal their convictions. Turning to business news and the continuing AI race, we report exclusively that Google is expanding its efforts to make more of its own semiconductors in-house and cut reliance on outside vendors. Our Google reporter Miles Krupa spoke with our Tech News Briefing podcast about the company's strategy.
Google has actually been making its own chips in-house for a while, but it's been really focused on AI applications, the sort of generative AI tasks like serving chatbot responses like ChatGPT or Google's Gemini. And this new effort is much broader and, while also potentially helping with the AI push, seems to be really more broadly about bringing down costs for the company and for also customers in the cloud, which will be able to rent access to the chips as well.
Analysts say Google's chip efforts could mean greater competition with its longtime partners, including Intel and NVIDIA. For more on this story, listen to tomorrow's Tech News Briefing podcast. Gold prices have hit another record. June futures on the New York Mercantile Exchange are edging toward $2,400 a troy ounce after reaching a fresh all-time high in earlier trading today. A rally in gold this year has Wall Street a bit stumped. Some analysts see it as a sign of investors' FOMO, or fear of missing out. Analysts say geopolitical tensions and hopes for interest rate cuts may also be playing a role. And Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million to settle lawsuits connected to a toxic train derailment in Ohio early last year. The settlement with individuals and businesses is pending approval in the U.S. District Court in Ohio. Norfolk Southern said it doesn't reflect an admission of liability, wrongdoing, or fault. This election season, the Biden campaign is trying to emphasize the president's record on climate change. The administration is spending $1 trillion on the effort, and President Biden has done more to address it than any of his predecessors. But Biden's campaign and progressive groups are finding an unenthused electorate, especially as they try to boost the president's popularity with young voters. Last month, a Wall Street Journal poll that surveyed voters in seven swing states found just 3% of 18 to 34-year-old voters named climate change as their top issue. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal climate finance reporter Amarth Ramkumar. Welcome back, Amarth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with that poll. What other issues are more important for young voters right now, and why isn't climate change resonating? That surprised me.
We're seeing a huge focus on Biden's age and Israel's war against Hamas for young voters. And there's a huge focus also on the economy and immigration and abortion. So it's not necessarily that they don't care about climate change. It's just hard for climate change to come out on top against all of those other issues. And the bigger problem for the administration is that a lot of the voters we talk to who do say climate change is one of their top issues are totally unaware of everything the Biden administration is doing. There's this $1 trillion deluge of tax credits, loans, and grants that's spurring investments all over the country. There are EPA regulations. There is a pause on LNG exports. Like you said, Biden has done more on climate than any of his predecessors, but he can't seem to get credit for it among voters at this point, and that has to be really frustrating.
Amrith, was this a failure in messaging? How is Biden's campaign trying to get this across now?
They're definitely trying to ramp up pointed messaging in specific communities where there have been these big investments. And a lot of those are actually concentrated in Republican districts. So the 2022 climate law known as the Inflation Reduction Act introduced all these subsidies. And we've seen investment going through a lot of communities in the South in particular, like Tennessee, Georgia, places like that. And Republicans have actually come out now and touted these projects that were spurred by a law they voted against. So the Biden campaign and the administration, they're trying to highlight those, and they're sending administration officials all over the country sort of to tout these investments that are being driven by their policies. They're trying to really put their foot on the gas pedal because we're, what, 7 months or so away from the election? That's not a lot of time. Another factor here is that a lot of the investments that have been put forward will just take many years to get completed. So we won't see the benefits in terms of reducing energy costs and creating jobs until much later this decade. That's another challenge for the administration. So they have to try to highlight ways these things are helping and make them real for people right now.
As you've said, we are not that far out from the election. Will these messaging efforts make a difference?
The Biden camp certainly hopes so. And one thing they're hoping to sort of focus in on as we get closer is also the contrast between Biden's climate record and Donald Trump's. Trump has said, drill, baby, drill, and said that he wants to reopen the spigot of oil and gas output and has criticized Biden's policies, EV subsidies and others that he says are hurting domestic fossil fuel production. But the facts actually show fossil fuel production at record highs under Biden.
Right. And how are administration officials viewing this right now?
They've done a lot already in terms of traveling around the country, talking to local news organizations, trying to get the word out about these policies. A lot of them are targeting investments in rural communities, in low-income communities, and this is billions and billions of dollars. Like, anyone can take advantage of them. They're rebates for energy efficiency upgrades for appliance purchases that will be rolled out in the next year or so. So privately, they're very frustrated, and they're saying they sort of have to show their work as they go and continue trying to hammer away at this message to get the word out.
Wall Street Journal climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Before we go, heads up, we've made a correction to last night's episode. In 2021, President Biden revoked a permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. An earlier version of that show incorrectly said it was the Keystone pipeline. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with deputy editor Chris Sinsley. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.